Broad topics, broad minds, broad hosts, but not just for broads. This is Broadscast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougall.
Good morning, Kim Goldman.
Good morning, Jackie McDougall.
How are you?
I'm doing swell. What's happening? How are you?
Not much. I'm just making sure that our audio is, I just make sure we work over here. So, welcome to Broadscast.
Working. I don't know if it's making a difference, but we're working.
We are working. So welcome to Broadscast, Kim Goldman.
Hey, I'm happy to be here.
Are you?
Jackie McDougall. Mm-hmm.
If you're just tuning in to Broadscast for the first time, we are Kim and Jackie. Welcome.
Hi.
So, you know, you can find us in a lot of places. What are some of those places, Kim Goldman?
We are, this is like, this is like a test of my systems, this morning. Okay. So on, the Twitter, mm-hmm. we are on the Twitter at Broadscast Show.
Yes.
Broadcasts with an S, Broadcast in the middle.
Oh, people Broadscast.
People forget that. And then Broadscast. On Facebook, we are on Broadscast.
You're right.
Right. No, there's no show there.
And Instagram, although we have to beef up our Instagram a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
All the same places. But if you go to our website, broadscast.com,
you can find us everywhere. But recently we started coming to you live on Spreaker, which is kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, we're going to break the internet, right? That's what we've decided.
Is that our goal?
I don't know.
You know how much I dislike that phrase.
I know.
Breaking the internet. You can't break the internet. Anyway, so lots of things going on. But before we get started, I just have to tell you, Nancy Reagan passed me on the freeway the other day.
She did. Did she wave?
She did not, because she's dead. So that's weird. But she did. I was driving to work. You know, I have a little side gig over at Fab Life. And I was driving to work. And on the other side of the freeway, cars were stopped. It suddenly got like really slow, like there weren't that many cars, and then I saw a cop at the entrance, you know, like the on ramp,
right,
blocking people from coming on. And suddenly I realized, like, here it was Secret Service and police and a couple of you know, what do you call them?
I don't know.
Casket mobiles, like hearses or anyway, so
casket
I was like
carriers.
But I mean, it's kind of, no matter what your political thoughts or feelings are, it's, I mean, how many first ladies have there been in the history of our country? And one of their, like, I just found it so interesting and fascinating.
Well, I think, you know, I have a friend of mine, actually, I don't know her exact title, but she works at the Ronald Reagan Library, and mm-hmm. she's been like under siege this whole week.
Oh, I bet. Know,
because they've had viewings at the, I mean, in Simi Valley, that's where Ronald Reagan is buried. And I presume that's where his lovely wife will be buried. Apparently she planned her funeral when she was in office, which I guess is not that.
Right. A lot of
shocking, but so they're going to be buried together at the Ronald Reagan Library in Simi Valley. So that procession, I imagine, was on its way.
Exactly. It was, they had family service.
Right. It was pretty cool. I saw images on the news, and they had on some of the overpasses, they had fire trucks and law enforcement standing at full attention as her procession passed, which I thought was cool. But I think one of the things that I love that's happening, and I was too young during the Ronald Reagan era, but I love that there's a lot of attention on their love story and all the good things that she did in politics. And she just wasn't Ronald Reagan's wife, that she had her own platform and all the mm-hmm. good that she did for children and you know, just say no to drugs and her whole campaign around that. And I just think that's awesome that it's at a time when we're so polarized as a political nation that there's some good that's maybe coming out of that.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of people with a lot of opinions on that. And I've certainly seen, you know, the share of people who aren't celebrating her life, too. So as far as AIDS goes, back in the 80s, yeah, and, you know.
I don't remember what her particular stance. I know all of the controversy around what Ronald Reagan, but I also, again, I'm not excusing it, but I think we were so uneducated at that time. And you know, I can't imagine that what Ronald Reagan back then, if that would ever fly today, I mean, that just wouldn't happen. Although the Republican Party does allow Trump to run amok. So maybe, who knows? But I mean, that I, in any regard, whatever you feel about Republicans versus Democrats, you know, she was the president's wife. And
yeah. And some say that she actually did probably more than he did when he was, you know, suffering from Alzheimer's, and she was kind of had his back and was making a lot of decisions and kind of propping him up for appearances and things like that, right. You know, trying to prevent people from knowing what right. was actually happening.
I guess I just, for 5 minutes, you know, as we've been watching the news the last couple of nights about Nancy Reagan's passing, it was just a for me, a dose of what it's supposed to be about being respectful of the people that are in office, regardless if you are Republican or Democrat.
I agree.
I just sort of feel like it's just been so ugly the last handful of months that for 5 minutes I was like, oh, this is how it's supposed to be. You stand, you
right.
respect, and for, you know, you extend compassion, and you may not have to agree, but they were voted into office. And I think that says something.
Yeah. And I mean, and I believe that as far as like in my parenting, and that I don't want to, no matter who, well, actually I say that. And if Donald Trump were president, I'm not sure I could keep it together. So let's move on anyway. So Lane Bryant is fighting mad. No, there. Did you see the new Lane Bryant? And if you guys haven't seen this, head over to our Facebook page where we posted it. But Lane Bryant has a new ad. Mm-hmm. Featuring Ashley Graham, who's a Sports Illustrated cover
she was
girl.
In it. I didn't even notice.
Yes. Why? Because all fat women look heavier, look alike.
Oh,
Kim?
That's where
Is
you
that
went
you
with that? No, because I noticed it and didn't. I don't know who celebrity. I don't pay any attention to that stuff.
Okay.
Wow.
So, I was sort of kidding. But anyway, she was in this ad. It's Real Bodies, although I feel like Real Bodies are big, small, and everywhere in between. But they, you know, this ad featuring a breastfeeding woman, featuring, you know, curves and body parts
right.
and all of it. Kind
right.
of like a Dove ad,
right.
but even more so. And it's an ad for Lane Bryant. And
right.
I guess the networks are rejecting it. What do you
Why?
Think of that? Well, that's the thing is, a rep from Lane Bryant has said that the networks have rejected it, but they have not said why. I mean, I'm sure they could use the breastfeeding as
but there's no boobs. I mean, we see more of that on FX than
yeah.
we do in commercials.
Well, we see it more. We see more. They have no problem running the Victoria's Secret
right on live television and
yeah.
our primetime hour.
Exactly.
No, I saw the I did see the commercial on our page, and I guess I don't have these reactions one way or the other. I'm like, oh, it's a cool ad, like it's beautiful. I thought it was elegant. I thought it was classy, and go figure that somebody would have a problem with it.
Right.
I can't figure out. Listen, there is no doubt that what gets on television is very skewed and is approved by a limited group of people who are the decision makers.
Right.
I think it's unfortunate though that we are once again attaching shame
right.
and judgment to something that is very natural and normal. I'm curious though, has Cheryl Teagues commented on that?
I think Cheryl Teagues is smart enough today to keep her mouth shut. But if you just a sidebar here, if you're listening on Spreaker, there is a live chat option, and also tweet us and write on our Facebook page and let us know what you think of this, because it's funny because the more digging I'm doing, that there was no specifics of why they what crossed the line and why they wouldn't air it, other than the network said they were just turning it down as is.
So do you think that's a marketing ploy? Elaine Bryant, like kind of
well,
floating a mistruth to get conversation going about something that didn't really
Well, I mean,
really
I think
happen.
That they must have rejected it. But the thing is, like the Lane Bryant, according to this report, they believe it's a size issue and not the nudity thing. So NBC says it. Oh, look, NBC says it's asked Lane Bryant to make minor edit to comply with broadcast. I can't even say the word broadcast anymore. Broadcast indecency guidelines. So, you know, it had to be the breastfeeding part of it.
Yeah, but in the breastfeeding section, unless I'm mistaken, did you see anything?
No, I mean, you saw a kid eating.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm more disturbed by those.
But we see butts on television.
I was about to say, though, I'm more disturbed by those, like, diaper commercials where, like, the little butt or, you know, like, that stuff. Oh, yeah. Is...
But I just mean in general. We see butts. We see, like, remember, I will never forget, and this is how old I am. I will never forget when NYPD Blue, which was my all-time favorite show when I was growing up, had... a butt shot. Do you remember?
Sipowitz, like, or whatever.
Sipowitz, but like, but they showed his butt, and like that, you know, people were up in arms. But I was like, yay! I'm sick and tired of always seeing the women.
Yeah,
but like, we don't have a problem. I mean, you watch. I mean, listen. I posted this a couple weeks ago when I was home during the day, and I had on the TV because I was watching the news, and then zoned out, and then lo and behold, Days of Our Lives or some soap opera appeared,
right?
And I was like watching soft porn. I could not believe what watching in the middle. I'm like, what? This is unbelievable. But yet we can't have a woman in a breastfeeding,
right,
where you don't see anything that we're objecting to,
right?
But hubba hubba on the soap operas, like, it's unbelievable the standards that we have in terms of what's acceptable and what's not. And
yeah, so
I don't know.
I know. And we asked, you know, on Facebook, and people were the same. I haven't yet seen anybody who's like, well, because it's not appealing, or any sometimes I think that people aren't brave enough to post their true thoughts. But clearly,
listen, there are lots of people that look at that and have something negative and judgmental,
right?
And that's what makes the world go round. It's disturbing, but that exists. I mean, there are lots of things that I see that are not appealing to me, and so I just opt not to watch or pay attention or purchase that product. I mean,
right.
Listen, I am not attracted to the Carl's Jr. commercials when they have these sexy women or men eating and slobbering ketchup and stuff like that. That doesn't appeal to me, but mm-hmm. whatever, to someone it's going to. So I think that's that's what a commercial is supposed to do, is either attract or.
Right. I find that more offensive. You know, those like, they're on a car.
But Lane Bryant is a company that speaks to full figured women.
Right.
So that commercial,
right,
is appropriate for their product line. So
yep,
it's not going to speak to everybody because that's not who their audience is.
Right. Right. And I love it. And they're trying to start a movement with the hashtag this body. And they all talk about this body and what this body can do. And I think that, you know, I think they did a great job. I think that it was really well done. I, you know,
but don't the Dove commercials, didn't they get, weren't they under attack for their
yeah, I just think people don't want to see anybody over a size 2.
Right.
On television.
Right.
The end. I really do.
End scene.
All right, let's move on. So did you hear about the gun rights advocate in Florida? Why does it always go back to Florida? Who was driving in the car and had the gun in the backseat floor, and her 4-year-old picked it up and shot her in the back.
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah. So it's funny because it's bringing up so many arguments in gun rights and laws. Mm-hmm. And no matter what.
How did the 4-year-old get the gun that was supposedly on the floor? Like, was the kid not in a...
I can't even get my kids to pick up their socks or their shoes that they leave on the floor of the car.
But seriously, my question first is, was the child not secured in the car? Like, how?
Good point.
Right?
Maybe they have low seats.
Yeah, but
maybe she drives a low rider.
Low rider. But seriously, like, so if the kid was, I mean, that's a whole other question. But if the kid was secured in his child seat, because that's 4 years old, you're still in a child seat of some kind, how do you get the handgun that was supposedly on the floor in the back seat? A, that's my first question.
Okay.
B, she said that he was acting frantically before he shot her. Which she was quoted as saying that. And I thought
she was acting frantically.
No, he was acting frantically in the back seat before he shot her.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure that's what I read.
Huh.
Jamie Gilt, right? That's G I L T.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very possible I misread that because I'm blind without my glasses. but I'm fairly certain that she said he was acting frantically before she was shot. So I'm curious.
Right.
But in general,
the gun was purchased legally. She's an idiot.
Why is she an idiot?
For putting a loaded gun on the floor of the car where her child is. That is against the law. That is the problem. So whether you are for gun rights or against it or whatever, wherever you stand, right. I think as a nation, we can all agree that she's an idiot right. to do that. You know right. what I mean? You can protect all of your, you know, rights and still think she's an idiot.
Right.
You know, and you know what? And this is supposed to be broadcast where every woman's voice matters. But when you put your gun on the floor of the car where your four-year-old, your voice no longer matters. I'm sorry.
Well, but
your broadcast card has been revoked. You know, revoked.
But,
thank you.
But remove the element of the child being in the car. It is also still against the law to not have your weapon. It's supposed to be encased.
Right.
To the law.
Right.
Private motor vehicle.
Oh, yeah. I just read something. Captain Joseph Wells of the Putnam County Sheriff's Department said the child was not in an appropriate seat while riding in the car.
Oh, so that's two things.
Yeah. There was a booster seat in the back of the vehicle, but the boy was not strapped in when the deputy got to them.
Well, I'm not surprised that, though.
Oh, when he got to them. Yeah.
Yeah, when he got to them. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So she recently posted about getting her new 45 caliber.
Right.
It's all fancy. And she was like, "Woo! Got to play with my new toy today.
Yeah.
Time to clean it." Like, no matter how I feel about guns, I would never get one because that's just another thing to clean.
Right.
<You're> like, but <"Badum-tsh." laughs> you know, I mean, if you have to, another thing to take care of, like I might as well.
But this is where I go back to the whole concept around common sense laws. There are people that think that when you talk about gun control, that in some ways it is infringing upon the Second Amendment and your right to bear arms. Mm. I don't care. If you believe that you are entitled to have a gun, just follow the law.
Yes.
Just follow the law. Whatever it is, there is laws in place to prohibit, hopefully, these kinds of things. I mean, you are allowed to carry a concealed weapon in Florida. It is supposed to be in a encased case.
Right.
It's securely encased.
Well said.
Whether it's in your vehicle or in your home.
Right.
And especially when you have under 16, you have children in the home under the age of 16, it is, you are required to keep it locked up.
Right. I mean, I think that it's ridiculous that people, like, you know, if there's a waiting period to get a gun and people are all up in arms, you know, so to speak. But
you're just on fire today.
I know, I'm totally on fire. So,
oh,
but I just,
that's another one right there on fire, sort of.
Not really. Unfired.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think that people get so worked up that somebody's trying to take their rights away when in actuality, we just want the world to be safe.
Right.
You know, like, let's not let other people, if somebody breaks into your house, let's make sure that that gun's in a place where they can't just get it and shoot somebody.
Okay. But using that theory, so this is my whole concept about, 'cause when I was married, my ex-husband had guns and he had them in a locked case downstairs somewhere in the house that honestly I don't even know because I didn't want to know. Wasn't my thing, but he was my husband and that was his thing and we kept it locked up.
They were loaded?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. So going down that road, if you're someone that believes in that, what happens when you have someone break into your house? You don't have access to your gun if it's locked up somewhere in your house that's kept hidden away from children and, you know, it's supposed to be in a secured place. How quickly can you go get your gun, get it unlocked, and then go back and protect yourself?
Well, I mean, I think every situation is.
I know, but I was just thinking, like, the whole point of the right to bear arms is to be able to protect yourself. But if it's encased somewhere in your house.
Right.
Well, yeah. And logically, I mean, I sit because I'm a single parent. I sit in my house and I try to figure out my escape route if God forbid someone. But I freak myself out because I think about in my house, how would I be able to protect myself? How to protect my kids?
You don't have a safe room?
No, I don't have a safe room. But I think about these things. So like logically, if I were to believe in the fact of having a gun and keeping it, I don't know. I just wonder about some of those logistical things.
Well, this woman, Jamie Gilt, has a Facebook page, Jamie Gilt for Gun Sense, and it is no longer available on Facebook. So, you know, I think she should be Jamie Gilt for Nonsense.
Well, again, accidents happen, right? And people, this is the argument, you know, and I wish that I left it at home before I came to the studio, but I had the statistics and about how many gun accidents happen these things just in and of itself. So regardless of what our gun rules are, I mean, this could have happened if if the gun was, I mean, actually, no, if the gun was encased and someone had it securely protected in their home the way that it's supposed to be, then it would reduce the number of gun accidents. So the people that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. So what, you know, if you want to fight for your right, then that's fine. Just don't be stupid. You know, be smart.
Right.
Be smart. Protect it. You know, that's all.
Well, in ending that note about the gun, I do hope that she's okay. And I'm pretty sure that was pretty traumatizing for that kid and that family. And regardless of whether or not we agree with what she's done or we think she's an idiot, I think she's in the hospital and she's suffering, and it doesn't warrant like a karma's going to get you kind of thing. I'm not a fan of that in this regard. So I hope that she's okay in that.
Yeah.
Kid.
I mean, she wrote a comment though, Sunday night, I guess before, you know, she was shot, but even my 4-year-old gets jacked up to target shoot with the .22. So come on, we need to be more responsible. There need to be checks and balances,
right?
You know, that's fine. If you feel like you need a gun in your house to protect your family, like protect your family.
Yes.
That is your job first, to protect your family.
Yes. But there are lots of people, and we've talked about parenting, that have different value systems as it relates to what's appropriate for your kid. I mean, this is an ongoing conversation. We just had on Aaron Azrelant last week on our show talking about like different value systems and what works in your house versus somebody else's. And, you know, in her house, that's perfectly acceptable. That just doesn't work in my house. Like, I don't think certain things are acceptable and appropriate at differing ages, but might be different for somebody else. Like, and so it is negligent. I mean, like, again, there are laws that protect kids against that kind of negligent and abusive behavior. But in her brain, wielding a gun and target practice and all that stuff is her inalienable right. And she's passing that, you know, value system onto her kid.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that she then gets to just disobey what the laws are around protection of your child.
Right. All right. All right. Hey, so later on in the show, we're going to, we have an Ask the Broad Squad question, which is great. Like, if you are a broadcast listener, you can be part of our Broad Squad. Just go over to the Broad Squad group on Facebook.
I think we should have a drinking game that every time we say Broad Squad or broadcast, we have to.
Well, maybe not us. Maybe we'll have our listeners do a shot.
Oh, no, that would be a much more fun show for us.
Are you not having fun? Okay, so what's next?
What?
Pink. that was a great non-sequitur.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Like, no, but pink. So how do we... There's a certain family that we don't talk about in the show, so we're not going to go there with this reality star who posed a naked selfie, of herself, obviously, it's a selfie. So she posted it. It was the selfie heard around the world. And, you know, she says for body image, International Women's Day.
No, she didn't. Okay. No, she didn't. Her first post was a picture of her nudie in the bathroom, saying, "When you have nothing to wear, LOL." That was her original post.
Okay.
Then, my belief is after she got a little bit of slack for what she's done, then suddenly it became a happy International Women's Day with a post that says, "I'm all empowered about my body."
Okay.
Now, this is where I take a little
it's a picture from like a year ago or something.
Doesn't matter. Which actually even proves my point that I personally believe that it's attention seeking,
mm-hmm.
Because if she's pulling from old footage and repurposing it and then saying, ha ha.
And like, there is no empowering but
you know what, the I posted something, a post that Pink had, on her Twitter or Instagram.
She's badass.
I like Pink because she's badass. And what I liked about her post, it was a little passive aggressive because we absolutely know who she was talking about, but she never called her out by name like Bette Midler did, which was also very funny on Twitter. But Pink made a comment, a fairly decent sized post about empowering and self-respect and using your gifts, your brains, your smarts, your intellect, your wisdom, blah, 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 to feel empowered by those things. Again, you can go to our broadcast Facebook page. The post is up there.
Right.
And I love that she took something and flipped it on its head and talked about being empowered from within and not having to show your boobs and butt in order to feel empowered. Now, that doesn't mean, in my opinion, that the woman whose name we don't utter, who posted her selfie, doesn't feel empowered by her body.
Mm-hmm.
But for a person that works with teenagers and sees the impact that those kinds of posts and shares affect my kids that I work with,
right,
I have an issue with it, because we don't often talk about brains and intellect and respect as part of and attach that to an empowered woman. It's always about her looks and her body. I mean, we started the show off about bodies. So I don't know. I'm all for what Pink did, because I think it kind of refocuses.
And I think a lot of people agree with you. I mean, there was one commenter who felt like her shouting, you know, ridiculing her publicly was kind of like against what she should be doing. But my favorite, and I have to share this, I can't even read this woman's Twitter name, but her response, though, I have to show you, and we'll have to put this on our Twitter, is that, okay, sis, she says to Pink.
Yeah.
And it's like a collage of images of Pink practically naked.
But first of all, she's not practically... Kim Kardashian, whose name we don't mention.
Oh, we can't
sorry.
Do it.
It was her full body. Like, it was not... The news put the black things over her. It was her boobs and her vagina.
Oh.
Like... Yeah. Pink's stuff was in her performance. It was in her costume. It was, she's covered up in those pictures. She's not showing her boobs and her vagina.
That picture?
Oh, what's that for?
I don't know, but it's Pink.
Here, I don't think Pink is saying don't do it. I think, but
right?
You can't then say showing your boobs and your butt and your vagina and then calling it empowerment. So I'm not discrediting.
But here's
here's
the thing though, is that we can say we know how we feel about this particular reality star and her family.
Yeah.
Okay. But when do we get to pick and choose when showing your body is empowering and art and when you're a negative impact for young girls? When do we get to, like,
I think have at it.
Get to
knock yourself
judge and
out,
jury.
But when you're empowered, first of all, I don't believe that her intention for posting that was about empowerment. I think she.
But is that what matters? What your intention is?
Well, I think because it feels disingenuous to me. And I think that it's purely for attention seeking purposes.
So you're working with a teenager,
mm-hmm.
and you show them a picture of the reality star with, naked. And then you show the picture of Pink with any one of these photos that you can find,
mm-hmm.
of her not dressed. Are you what are you saying? What is your different message to this 15-year-old girl who's confused about her own body?
My message would be the same, is to understand your audience, understand your purpose. What is the reason that you are posting pictures of yourself? Pink didn't post pictures of herself on her personal Instagram page. It was from an ad or No. I'm just, hold on. You asked me a question.
All right.
So understand your purpose, understand your audience, understand the repercussions of what you're doing. These are grown women that are doing this versus my 15-year-old that does this in a closet to get attention from boys that are doing it in a way that is not productive,
right.
That is risky and against the law because they're underage. So my conversation with my teenager is going to be about respecting your body, owning what the purpose is behind what you're doing. If you feel empowered to show your tatas off, knock yourself out. Understand that there are repercussions behind it, and you can feel empowered. I don't need to see it. Like, she's doing it, in my opinion, for attention seeking purposes, because
every
she's the
person,
selfie queen.
But every person, whether they are well known, famous or not, who posts pictures of their naked body, mm-hmm. or poses for somebody else with the naked body, is looking for attention of
right.
some sort.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just appreciated the alternative thought process, which was also about respecting your brain and your smarts and your intellect and the gift that you give and your creativity and all of those things as another form of empowerment. Had our reality star posted it originally with some intention, I think it's because it feels like it's disingenuous after the fact. I just honestly think that her original reason was because she,
that's what she gets off on. But that's what she does anything.
Right. But then to turn it and now try to make it something differently, I think is just really kind of,
yeah,
that's my opinion.
Yeah.
So I don't care if she does it, but my kid's watching it. My kid saw it on the news. right? I want the message also to be that women are worth more than just doing that. And I feel like I really resonated with the message that Pink delivered, because I think it speaks to something that's more important and that works yes. for me. I honestly do not care what Reality Star does, but I just want there to be a conversation that includes both. I don't appreciate what people did to shame her for that. She's entitled to do whatever the heck she wants. But I also don't think that what Pink did is should be condemned, or as someone says, punching down or being against women. I don't right. see what she did as being against women either. She has an opinion. She's entitled to that.
Absolutely. She has an opinion. She should be entitled. And I think that you can. Here's the thing. I never, ever saw myself in a position where I would be defending, you know.
No, but.
But yeah. I just. I think that Pink is this, like, you know, it came across as this holier than thou way of, yes, we should. Everything she says is correct, but it was in response to this photo.
Right. So
and you know what? Who is more at fault? The Reality Star for posting it, or the news outlets for making it news? I think that's an issue. I mean, talk right. about, you know, you have a book called Media Circus, and yes, right. I just plugged it for you. But, you know, that's the media circus. Like, she's working them.
Yes. Which is, yes.
That's more repulsive.
Well, it is, but that's the society that we live in. And so that's what gets us to be able to have these great conversations. But I also go back, and I don't know when those pictures were taken of Pink. I don't know how long ago those were. Maybe she's had an epiphany. Maybe she's had some spiritual awakening. She's also had children. Maybe her opinion has changed. I don't know if in recent days she's posting pictures of herself. I have no idea. So I'm trying to give everybody the benefit of the doubt that sometimes we change our minds. Sometimes we have these great moments of clarity. Mm-hmm. We change our purpose because now we have children that are monitoring what our behavior is. And when everything's on the internet, that stays with you forever. So we leave a digital imprint behind, and we have to be responsible for doing so. So, you know, I we've said this a gazillion times over. I would hate if everything from my past came back to haunt me.
Oh, yeah.
And if everything I did or said was recorded and documented. So given that, I'm not defending or, you know, condemning one or the other. But I personally appreciated, like I said, the message about honoring other things about you other than just your body.
That's right.
Just
right.
I don't know.
All right. Well, I think we want to hear your opinion. You know, tweet us at Broadcast Show. And find us on Facebook and all that good stuff. Or just come on over. Just come over. Come over and hang with us in the studio. Okay, so Ask the Broad Squad. This is a series that we're kicking off. I'm excited about this because I love that we have this community of women, of broads, who kind of come from all different backgrounds and all different experiences, and they can weigh in when one of our broads has a question. So we got this from a listener who said, does anyone else have this issue where you have a friend who never asks for anything, and in times of need, you have to beg for them to let you help them? And then you have the opposite friend who goes to the well a little too often asking for favors.
Okay, so what was the first one?
You know, you have to like beg that person, like, let me help you, or they're going through something. And
right. That's me.
Yes.
Wait, I was like, which one do I identify with? Okay, yes. The first one.
So it says, how do you get the one friend to let you help, yet let the other know that their requests create way too much internal drama in your life? Mm-hmm. Signed, Neurotic in NoHo. Thanks, Neurotic.
Interesting. Okay.
So why is it that you don't let people help you? Like, let's.
Wait.
You just said you were.
Hold on. We're one and the same is what I was going to say.
Oh, okay. So why is it we don't let people help us? No, but I think that this is a great question, and not just for Neurotic and NoHo and trying to help her with her problem, but also like...
Wait, why'd you assume it was a woman?
Because I got the email.
Oh. I didn't get the email. Okay.
And, you know, why... not only to help with that problem, but I think that this is a very, 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 very common issue with broads everywhere who are afraid to let others help them. Why do you think that is? Dr. Kim Goldman.
Patient Kim Goldman would say that I know for me, it has always been a sign of weakness if I needed help.
According to whom?
Me.
Where did that come from?
It came from, in my past, because I had a parent leave me when I was very young, it created this level of insecurity or that I don't matter kind of feeling.
Right.
And so I always tried to overcompensate and do my best and overachieve and do all these things because I wanted to create a person mm-hmm. that my mother would want. And so in doing so, I created this very responsible, self-reliant, independent person that didn't need anybody. Because if I needed you, then I risked the rejection and someone leaving me. So I kind of fell into this, I got this, I can handle it, I'm good, I'm strong, I'm capable, I'm worthy mentality. And in doing so, I didn't learn how to accept help because I couldn't trust it. I didn't trust it.
Right. Wow, that's really...
Right? That's pretty deep.
It's very deep, but it's mm-hmm. also very... I love that you have so much insight into what makes you tick.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, but you get to a certain age, though, where people want exhausted. To help you. Right. You're exhausted.
I'm exhausted.
No, but do you try to change that?
I have gotten to a place where I am growing more willing to let people help, but it is not my go-to. I am not as willing to, I'm still unwilling because I have been doing it for so long by myself, now being a single parent also, that it doesn't even occur to me really to ask for help because I know I can manage it. It's really in moments where I can stop and appreciate that someone asking me for help is not because they don't think I can handle it, but it's because they know that I can, but they want to just be an extra layer of support. And sometimes allowing people to help me is more for me about being gracious to somebody else.
Right.
Because it's their need and their desire to be of service also.
Right.
And
right.
so it's changing the conversation for me. It's not always about me. It's really about giving.
It's kind of like birthdays. I always say your birthday's not about you. It's about all the people who love you.
Right.
And so it gives... Saying yes to help gives other people an opportunity to show you how they feel.
Right.
And when you reject the help on a regular basis,
right.
they feel... equally as not important.
Right. Which is what I find myself saying to you sometimes because you too,
what?
Did you like that? And we've talked about this. I mean, you and I've had lots of situations in our life where we have been, you know, put in a, not traumatic, but like a challenging situation where, you know, we close off, both of us. I mean,
right.
both of us are very good at that. And it's hard to be a friend to someone who is so closed off in that moment because it's
and
not
who's like, I got it.
I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. Everything's fine.
Right.
So why do you do it?
Why do I do it?
Because
everything's totally fine, Kim. I will say though, last year, almost around this time, was I kind of had a breakthrough. Remember when I called you and I was on the couch with 105 degree fever? Mm-hmm. And I was like,
yeah, that was big.
And
yeah.
I was like, can you come over?
Yeah.
And then I remember saying, can you call 911? And you and my husband looked at each other like, I don't know that we should call 911.
I think this fever's caused her to be delirious.
Yeah, like you guys were like, I don't think so. Like, I don't think it's that bad, is it? And I knew.
I thought it was that bad. I was trying to quell the anxiety that your husband was feeling.
Yeah.
I was trying to be the
voice of reason. It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And obviously, I ended up in the hospital with sepsis.
Right.
So it was pretty serious. But, you know, it was one of those things where I think you had a busy day and crazy things happening. And it was like, apparently it requires 105 degree fever for me to say, yes, I need help.
Right. But where do you think it comes from that you're not willing to let people? Because that's a one off.
Well,
I love you to pieces, but that was a one off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
see where I went there. No, but I mean, being one of, you know, I have 12 siblings. It's not like you could.
Did you feel like you fended for yourself? And that's why? I mean, and so it wasn't even reasonable to ask for help?
I think in some ways, we all kind of fended for ourselves. I mean, you know, you and I have similar experiences at both 3 years old,
right?
Where my mom, you know, had passed away. And so I think being capable and being strong and being, it was safer,
mm-hmm.
you know, shutting down is much safer. Like there's no disappointment. Actually, I kind of disagree with my own statement. it's a constant source of disappointment, but it's a very familiar disappointment. So if you have to do things on your own,
right,
it's a very familiar, uncomfortable place, but it's a lot easier than the emotion and the giving of yourself to allow someone to be there for you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And sometimes you want to show other people that you can do it. You know, it all depends on what it is.
Well, I know that.
And sometimes I'm not in a place that I want to even deal with it.
But I also feel like sometimes, you know, I being raised with two men, not that my father ever made me feel less than because I was a girl, but I have strong male figures in my life,
right,
and like wanting to prove myself and
right,
wanting to. And so as I've matured and gotten into in and out of relationships as an adult, it's been hard for me to allow a man to support and help because I'm like, why does he want to help me? Like, what does he not think that I'm capable? So I got to prove to this man that I'm independent, but also be vulnerable enough,
right,
to allow there to be a partnership.
That's interesting too, because
I hadn't had a lot of role modeling of that growing up because,
right,
I was raised with two men.
Right.
And I was the little girl. I was the baby sister. I was, yep, the youngest. And so there was this real kind of,
need to play with the big boys.
Yeah. And I realized that, you know, again, not having strong role models in terms of, partnerships, my dad's been married three times, mm-hmm, that I never really
Go
had,
Fred.
I never really had a great,
strong
relationship
woman
to be, yeah, able to emulate in that regard.
Right.
That's not to say that my dad doesn't have that in his relationships, but I didn't grow up seeing that.
Right.
So, it is difficult. I will never forget that I started dating someone, a handful of years ago, and, I had a broken toilet seat in my house, and the man that I was dating was like, I'm going to fix this for you. And I'm like, okay, like I could take care of it. And he's like, I want to do this for you. He's like, we're going to get the toilet seats and we're going to replace all the toilet seats in your house. We're going to do it this weekend. And I was like, but I got this. Like, it's not that hard,
yeah,
like in my head. And he's like, I want to do this for you. And I thought, oh my gosh, if I don't let him do this, it's going to be emasculating.
Right.
So I went and I got the toilet seat. Literally, it could have taken me 30 seconds,
yeah,
to take care of the, yeah, toilet seat cover. So I bought the toilet seats. I put it on the floor waiting for him. 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We waited for the guy to change the toilet seats. And I was like, I'm letting him be, yeah, a man. And in the meantime,
he was totally being a man.
Right. But I sat there and I'm like, but I can't not allow him to do it because that was important for him,
right,
to be able to come in and take care of me. But I was like, dude, I need my, yeah, toilet seat.
He's all lip service because it's like, oh, well, I'm going to do this. But then here's the thing. After it's done, then you have to like throw a parade. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
sometimes it's
so
just easier,
mm-hmm,
to do it yourself than to stroke the ego of how amazing you are that you changed a toilet seat.
I am more of the, it's easier to do it myself all the time. And so this,
right,
is, comes back to that struggle that I have, that I'm really just trying to delegate. I'm trying to allow people because I don't need to keep proving. When my ex-husband and I got divorced and, I was like, I'm going to mow the lawn. I'm going to take care of the yard. I'm going to show my son that I'm a capable woman, that I don't need a man. This is not a man's job. And then I couldn't get the freaking lawnmower to start and like what the heck, you know, and I couldn't get it. And then I figured, okay, I finally got it to work. I mowed the lawn for months on end. I weeded, and then I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't need to prove this anymore.
Pass.
So I hired a landscaper.
Yeah.
Like my son was not impacted by that at all. And so I am learning as I get older to release some of that.
Well, and
control.
And to delegate, you know,
yeah.
I mean, why would you spend 2 hours a week doing that when you could be spending time with your son? If, you know, it's a return on investment. You got to see how much would it cost to pay somebody else to do it,
right,
and give me peace, or, you know what I mean?
But I guess I just don't.
Unless you love it.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, allowing people to help you in some way, you have to be vulnerable and really, and sometimes that's the hardest part. And it goes back to what we were saying about the rejection and disappointment and, you know, not letting, when people say they're going to show up for you and they don't, then,
right,
you're like, well, I could have handled it. I let,
yeah,
you in. I,
yeah,
let you be vulnerable. I asked, and now look.
Right.
And now I'm back to exactly where I,
right,
was, but now I have these extra layers that I'm now dealing with that,
right,
if I just would have done it by myself the first time,
and now
would not be,
they're also triggering that emotion of you feeling like you can't count on people.
Right.
And so what would you tell Neurotic and NoHo about, you know, how to get, how can somebody get you to allow them to help?
I think you have to practice with baby steps. I think you have to practice with things that are not monumental, like changing a toilet seat or picking your kid up from you when you're stuck or allowing someone to, I don't know, do like a non, well, everything's important, but I just mean like the littler, right. littler things to right. start building trust with the people that you care about
right.
and know who you can rely on to
that's
ask for
a
help.
Great, that's a great point.
You know, cause I don't ask for help from people that I don't have great relationships with. I would ask you, I have a very small group of people in my tribal
right.
council that I would rely on because I know they will show
squad.
Up for me in my broad squad because I know they will show up for me.
Right.
And still hard, but those are my peeps.
Right. Right.
And it took baby steps for me.
Yeah.
To be
and
able
it
to
takes, and building trust is definitely key there. I just remember when I've had surgeries in the past and people would bring meals and like, you know, and they're like, what do you, and then they would ask, well, what would you like? And I'm like, don't ask. I mean, if yeah. you want to do, just do, like, that's amazing. And so incredibly appreciated. But then like, oh, what would you like? Don't ask. I'm not yeah. going to tell you. If you want to help, help. That's, I guess, my advice for Neurotic and NoHo would be, if you want to help, help. Don't ask how you can help. Don't ask the details of what you want to do. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, I think it comes and goes because there are times where I would appreciate when someone's saying, how can I support you? Which is different than saying, do you need help?
Right.
To me, those come across differently. There are times where, like, it goes back to the hospital thing. You helped me when I had a bout of vertigo a handful of years
goodness.
Ago. And I was
yes.
on the phone with you. And I was basically fainting while I was on the phone with you.
Yes. And you thought you had a tumor.
Yeah. And you just showed up. And I was incapable of knowing how to ask for help. And you just took charge. We were in the hospital and you came with me. I didn't even know how to ask for help. And you just took over.
Oh.
Which I appreciated. And
I like to take over.
But
you
listen,
know
here I am with my, in the hospital with my butt hanging out in the most vulnerable position I could be. And I just relinquished because I realized in that moment that I wasn't able to help myself and I needed to let someone help me. And so that was really life affirming for me in terms of my relationship with you and that I knew you were someone that I could count on without needing to ask or to tell. But sometimes we don't always know what it is.
Right.
We don't
right.
always know.
And I think, I mean, that's a total sidebar, but I think that when you are in the hospital or, you know, going through anything with a doctor and a specialist or anything like that, that you should have that person. It doesn't have to be a hired advocate, but just somebody who can kind of ask questions because, you know, your head's spinning. Literally, your yeah. head was spinning. Yeah. But, you know, I think that that's...
But I think to go back to what you said, though, I think that it comes from that we have to be in a different place to receive that doesn't come from a negative bashing of ourselves place. That when someone
right.
offers to help, it's not because you're not capable. It just means
right.
that someone wants to help.
Right.
We are inherently helpful people, most of us.
Right.
So sometimes it's just
yes,
you know
and
what?
Rejecting that help is not helping your friendship grow
and
stronger.
And it's not healthy for anybody. Like if I have, you know, I have some of the parents that I my kid plays basketball with. You know, we're all scrambling to get our kids to practice. You know, and you like the last thing you want to do is, hey, can you put my
right.
kid in your car? It's
right.
like, why not? I'm
Which
going.
Is so
why
not a big
I?
Deal.
Right. But it's yeah. like there is an impression of like I have too much. I can't handle it. I don't want anyone to know that I'm not managing my life and my kids and my
right.
schedules. And
right.
my, and, but
where does that I mean, you know, you and I talk about our upbringing and our childhood and where some of this stuff happens. But this is not uncommon. Where as women are we taught that we're, you know, and you made a good point with dating. There's this fine line, this balance where we're supposed to be vulnerable with men and female and feminine and all this and you know, but not need him.
Right, not be
you know?
Needy. Uh-huh.
Right. So it's like I'm supposed to be vulnerable but not needy.
Yeah.
And until my husband, I never was able to find that balance.
Right.
You know, it was either, oh, I'm too needy and I look desperate.
Right.
Or
incapable.
Why don't you ever let me help you?
Right.
You know, and I think that it's
well that then goes to the next part of that neurotic and NoHo's question is what do you do with the people that are always in need?
Right.
And I have had someone in my life like that and it was an absolute drain.
Yes.
Because at some point it was like there's no accountability, there's no personal responsibility, there's no taking action.
And
there's nothing.
And there's no concern for your schedule.
Yeah.
Where like this person I can't even remember who it was. I one time had somebody who had to, okay, they had to go to an appointment or something, and they asked if I could drive them, and it was like at like 4 or 5 in the morning. Oh, they had to go to the airport, and it was like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Always say no to those.
Yeah, right. And so I'm like, oh, well, that's fine. You know, where's your husband going to be? And she said, well, he's going to be home because we don't want to get the kids up that early.
Right.
Which I understand. But I, at that point,
had kids
and would have had to get my kids up.
Right.
Put them in the car
right.
to drive her to the airport.
Right. Right.
So she had absolutely no issue with my getting up, disrupting right. my whole family life to drive her to the airport so her kids didn't have to wake up.
Right.
You know what I mean? It yeah. was like, what?
I've had, you know, and I think, I literally was just telling someone this yesterday. I had someone that was supposed to deliver something to an event that I had. And this person had expressed that they were not feeling well. And, you know, and I kept checking in, like, how are we feeling? You know, am I going to get the delivery? And then they said, yeah, I'm good. If you know, I should be better by tomorrow. And I resisted the urge to say, well, let me go handle that for you. Because that's right? my go-to is right? to always be. And then I'm thinking, but it was your responsibility. You were accountable. You made the commitment. You figure it out.
Right.
As opposed to me adjusting my whole life, because that is also my go-to, which is yes. to be very helpful.
Yes.
So we create some ways the friend that allows the person to take advantage of us and to continually ask. We need to be better at also saying no.
Yes.
And saying no doesn't mean you don't care, that you're not compassionate, that right. you're not willing to
just
support.
Creating it boundaries.
Just boundaries.
Because yes. resentment will kill yes. your friendship anyway.
Yes.
So you might as well. I think sometimes people are not mean. They're not. They have no ill will. They just haven't thought it through. You know, they haven't thought, wow, this is really inconvenient for this person.
Right.
Or maybe they just weren't raised
but
that
I
way.
I used to be the person that did everything for everybody, and I was a doormat.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started to stick up for myself a little bit and establish healthy boundaries so that I didn't continue to feel like I was being stepped on, people were like, what the heck is wrong with you? You're
yeah.
such a bitch. And like, yeah, you have your period.
So angry.
Like, so angry. Like, and I was like, no, I'm just trying to have healthy boundaries
right.
because this is not working for me.
Right.
And that really was, in some relationships, a game changer, because I was not that person anymore. And then my role and our roles in our friendship were affected because I was not the person they could come
right.
to all the time.
Right.
And so I, again, in my maturer years, really kind of embodied this whole selfish mentality. And I don't mean selfish in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has a negative connotation.
Absolutely.
But I've learned how to say no if it really does impact me in a way that wouldn't be healthy for my life and
right.
my family.
Right.
There are lots of times I'm like, ugh, whatever, who cares? But there are other times I'm like, God, if I try to squeeze all that in, 7 other things are going to be compromised in me doing that. So I'm going to have to opt out of that one, and I'm sorry.
Right.
And then being able to say, wish I could help, ask me next time, and
yeah.
walk away without any residual guilt. And the
right.
residual guilt is the part where I'm still working
yeah.
on.
But. Well, we do have a few comments on the Facebook page when we put this up there. And one says, you cannot make anyone let you help them. I have a friend who's very private who recently went through chemo. I periodically texted her and asked her how she was and offered to grab something if I was heading to Trader Joe's or somewhere. I sent her a few cards to let her know I was thinking of her. She appreciated my offers and support, even though she never took me up on anything.
Right.
So don't feel badly. You're doing the right thing. As far as the other friend, do what you can and learn to say no. It's as empowering as offering to help.
Yeah.
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 And then the other person said, you know this friend well, you know, perhaps they just have difficulty asking and it lies in not being able to trust others, or they've learned it's a weakness to accept help. That's exactly what we were just talking about.
Right.
Whatever the reason is, I always like to tell people it's a gift for me to be able to help them. What a wonderful
yeah.
thing to say.
Yeah.
That is great.
Yeah.
I love that. To be able to say, can I help you? It would really be a gift to me.
And that's what I was saying before. There's some selflessness involved with letting people help you, you know, and we're so quick to internalize it as a negative, as opposed to finding gratitude and compassion and empathy towards each other. And that it nurtures us to be of service,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's to ourselves or to other people, but we're resistant. And I wish that we could recreate the narrative around help and what it is like to be of support to other people.
Right, right. So before we wrap up, because mm-hmm. it's almost the end of the show, mm-hmm. I put up a question for this week because I thought, you know, we should ask a fun little question every Friday. Oh. And today's question is, which is more painful, doing taxes or bathing suit shopping?
Oh, right.
So what do you think?
Doing my taxes.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't mind bathing suit shopping, do you?
I don't really know. I don't really bathing suit shop. I'm pretty much go to Target and find what's on the shelf.
My favorite comment, my favorite comment was, both situations leave me feeling sad and wondering why I didn't prepare a little harder for this day. Also, funny. Both are a little less painful if you take a shot of tequila first.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Back to that. Yeah. Is it easier? Which one's easy? I know the answer for you. What is it?
Well, I have a bookkeeper from my taxes who works on it monthly. So, I would say bathing.
So you don't have to
shopping.
Put any of your receipts and stuff together? They do it. Don't you? How do you do that?
I don't need my receipts because everything's categorized. I still keep the receipts.
Yeah.
But you only really need your receipts if you're being audited, and I have those.
Right. But you don't have to tell your, I have an accountant, but I have to bring him my stuff.
Yes. I bring the bookkeeping is done monthly.
Right.
And so we have like, you know, the charitable stuff and it's all listed out. And
I like how you highlighted the charitable stuff.
The expenses and things like that.
Yeah.
Well, I started there because that's the least. No, yeah. I'm kidding. Oh. I'm kidding. But you know, so it's all, and he doesn't need proof. His job is to do the taxes based on the information given.
Right. So every month you tell him how much you spent and...
I tell my bookkeeper has access to the books. Oh. And so she goes in and she puts things under the correct categories.
Oh.
And for my business and my personal.
Oh.
And then at the end, I win. You know, and it's a great... I will say that is one of the best investments we talk about.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the best investments in... my business. It's one of the best investments in my marriage. It's because I just kind of check things out. And sometimes there's like, well, what's this expense? Which categories should this be under?
Right.
You know, and we move things around a little bit, but it's a lot more affordable for me to do this a little bit each month than, in the past we paid a CPA, like a lot of money every year. And so it's easier to do it month to month,
mm-hmm.
for a few bucks, have it all organized.
I just sit on the floor and separate all my
receipts. Yeah, I can't
and
be that
put
girl.
It on my Excel spreadsheet and go to the accountant and
you lost
give
me
him
an Excel
numbers.
Spreadsheet.
Yeah,
you know, there are jobs that I have not applied for because they said things like Excel spreadsheet.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I am not that girl.
I posted a long time ago, and then I know we have to wrap up that tax time, and I go through my receipts. It's oftentimes sometimes a healthy and sometimes sad reflection of what my past year has been, because I look at receipts and I'm like, you know, oh, that was such a fun dinner, or oh, that was such a terrible trip, or you know, like there's times that I get to look back at my receipts and be like, oh, I remember that, or yeah, I don't know. So I kind of get a kick out of it. It doesn't take me that long, but and then I look at like, oh my God, how frivolous I was at that store, or oh my God, where did that shirt go that I spent all that money on? Like, it's just kind of a moment to reflect on my past year.
Right.
So,
well, thank you for listening today to Broadcast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougall. That's us.
Oh, that's it.
Follow us on Facebook. I hate that whole follow us.
I was just going to say that sounds a little stalkery.
Yeah. Just like interact with us, talk to us, tell us what you think. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can subscribe on iTunes, so that way it just automatically goes to your phone. I don't think that our generation are still downloading podcasts.
Oh my gosh. Someone yesterday said to me that for my son's bar mitzvah that we were talking about party favors. She's like, well, why don't you just make a CD of his favorite songs? I'm like, oh my God, that's so 90s.
Why don't you make a mixtape?
Yeah, I was like, that's so funny. And then I'm like, God, people don't even do that. I don't even know what that is anymore. Yeah, it's funny.
But anyway, you can find us all over the world wide web. And we have some exciting stuff coming up. So make sure you do. And we want to hear from you. So, you know, give us a shout. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Adios.
Have a great day.